on today's pod, we have got to talk about this new playoff format that came out over the weekend.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Can you believe it? It's football. I've been watching it for 40 years.
Are you kidding me?
You're listening to Winning Cures Everything.
Game day, baby. Wake up or get out.
Here's your host.
A confident young man. A superb athlete.
Gary Seegers.
Welcome to it. Winning Cures Everything. It's a college football podcast. I am your host, Gary Seegers, at GaryWCE on all the different socials and the most active on X. Hopefully everybody had a wonderful weekend. You're probably listening to this on Monday morning. No. I guarantee you are listening to this on Monday morning because I probably won't have it done until then. You guys know how I do. I'm driving all over creation now. I've got kids that live all sorts of places, and that's the way it goes. That is the way it goes. What a weekend. It's the last football-less Saturday, the last college football-less Saturday that we will have for quite some time. 5 months? 6 months? However long it is. But next week, next Saturday, we will have week zero. Kansas State and Iowa State. Kansas and Fresno State, Hawaii and Stanford, Western Kentucky, Sam Houston. Yes, I'm going to be putting out a pod talking about what my numbers say on those games. So, we'll have that ready. But for now, we got to talk about what happened over the weekend. Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, whatever time it was, I start getting a bunch of text messages. And it's, you know, what are they doing? Who would think this is a good idea? What is happening? 24 teams? 28 teams? What are we doing? So, of course, I respond because I'm not keeping up with that. I'm dealing with birthday parties and everything else. My oldest daughter turned 20 this week. Well, last week, but the birthday party was this weekend. My aunt, she got a little older. We won't put the age out there. And my sister-in-law also got a little older as well, all within the past week, so we had a joint birthday thing. I was not paying attention. Because, it's a Saturday that doesn't have college football going on. I figured, I should be good for a little while. And incorrect. That would be the deal. Ross Dellinger reported it. Pete Dammel reported it. Brandon Marcello also reported it. Everybody had it from different sources. And it came out from the Big Ten that they are, it's still early in discussions, but a Big Ten source called this a barely baked idea, but they are now looking not at moving to 16, not with the four AQs, 2-2-1-3 to move to 16. No, since we're sitting at 12 and we feel good about being at 12, or so says Greg Sankey, since we are sitting at 12 currently, why don't we just reimagine the whole damn thing? And I get where they're coming from. This idea gets rid of conference championship games, which the Big Ten is totally fine with doing because they're looking at it as, you know, if we just got rid of conference championship games and then went to all of our individual networks with CFP games instead, that could be interesting. Maybe that's worth a little bit more money than what the conference championship games actually bring in right now. Don't get it twisted. The Big Ten is up to something with this. This 24-team model that they are discussing is a 7-7-5-5-2-2 model. 7 auto bids each for the Big Ten and SEC. 5 each for the Big 12 and the ACC. 2 for the group of 6 programs. I keep calling them group of 5, but it's group of 6. And then 2 at-large selections, one of which would be Notre Dame if they are ranked within the top 28, which is just insane. I mean, What are we talking about? I don't know that that will be the exact criteria. Like, maybe Notre Dame has to be in the top 15. Like, who the hell knows? With the SEC and the SEC and Big Ten, 7 auto bids each. I am so curious. And this would go through 2031. So if the ACC were to lose Florida State or Clemson or North Carolina or whatever, and then backfill with, say, Memphis, USF, etc., the ACC would still get 5 auto bids. I find that interesting. It's, if you look at what the Big Ten was already proposing, the playoff was really already getting bigger. If you were going to do play-in games, right, so 4 AQs for the Big Ten and the SEC, that would mean 2 additional play-in games, which means 2 additional playoff teams per conference. It's just that it wouldn't technically be considered part of the CFP. It would just be the ways that the conferences determine how they were going to send teams to the college football playoff. So if you're looking at 2 additional teams for that, so each school would have 6, or each conference, excuse me, would have 6, and then the smaller conferences, the way that I envision the ACC and the Big 12 doing it, if they only had 2 automatic qualifiers, they would have their conference champion not play, and then they would have a 2-versus-3 matchup that would determine which of the second-tier teams, or whatever the hell you want to call it, which of those would actually get to go to the playoff there. So you would have 1 who won the conference championship in the regular season, and then 2 and 3 play each other. So they would get an additional 1 each. So at that point, you're looking at 6 plus 6 plus 3 plus 3. And that would be 18. And then, of course, you've got your additional. So we were already looking at if the 16-team conference or 16-team thing had gone into effect, you're looking at really a 22-team playoff. I think that's correct. So now you're just tacking on 2 more. They said, all right, fine, y'all don't like our idea. We'll just get rid of conference championship games, period. And we'll just put it all under this umbrella where we all share the revenue, except that the Big Ten and the SEC get more of that revenue. And, you know, but the deal is already done, so it's not like it's going to add anything else. But you might have to renegotiate based on, you know, which network is going to get which games and all that kind of stuff, right? Like, there's certain ways that this would go around. The SEC and the Big Ten control the CFP future. Like, it's the new extension that went into effect. We've talked about this multiple times. The new extension that went into effect 2 years ago, whenever it was, it gave the Big Ten and the SEC the deciding power on format changes. Now, the other commissioners, the group of 6 commissioners, the ACC, the Big 12, etc., Notre Dame's AD, they have to be consulted, but they don't have veto power. And that's a pretty big thing. Now, obviously, Tony Petitti with the Big Ten and Greg Sankey don't want to just ruffle feathers for the sake of ruffling feathers. Like, they want to, if they don't get along, they want people to be in their corner. They don't want to just completely pull away from, you don't want to go with the power conference thing yet, where the Big Ten and the SEC just join together and set their own rules and don't play anybody outside of that. They don't want that. They want the ecosystem to thrive, but they want to control it. And that's interesting. Like I said before, the impact on conference championships is interesting. It would basically eliminate the need for conference title games. And what that does, really, is allows you, you can move Army-Navy to conference championship game weekend, which is the weekend after Thanksgiving weekend, and you avoid having to compete with the NFL, which is a huge thing. And part of that probably comes from ESPN, I would imagine. So, Tony Petitti and Greg Sankey have already had an initial call about this 24 or 28 team playoff plan. The 24 team playoff is not a foreign concept, by the way. So we think it's absolutely outlandish. Oh my gosh, you know, we gave them an inch, they took a mile. You know, we wanted to go to four teams, and then that wasn't enough, so we wanted to go to 12, but now they're taking it from 12 in 1 year and just bumping it up to 24 or 28 or what. Look, the FCS playoff has 24 teams in it. They have multiple teams that are, I think it's eight schools that have byes. It lasts however long. Like, it's not crazy the way that it's done. And if you do another round of playoffs, that's another round of playoffs that you can do on home sites that you don't have to do at bowl games right now, because the bowl games are tied in with contracts through 2030, whatever. So the whole thing is not as outlandish as you would think. It would maybe reshape the importance of regular season scheduling, although I'm curious about the criteria. Like, I'm curious about the selection committee. I'm curious about a ton of this stuff, right? Like, how is this all going to play out? If you've got seven schools from a 16-team conference like the SEC, what are we even looking at? Like, that's what makes it so interesting. And with the ACC and the Big 12, I mean, the fifth-place team in these conferences is, I mean, not great. You might could have seen three from, you know, the ACC last year. If the Big 12 had five schools in the playoff last year, you know, the SEC, that one would have made sense, because there were six SEC schools that certainly, well, they all considered, or all were considered playoff contenders, right? There were three that did not get in, all with 9-3 records: South Carolina, Alabama, and Ole Miss. Texas A&M was 8-4, and they had a last-minute game against, the last week of the season against Texas, where if they had won that game, they were going to the SEC championship game based on tiebreakers, etc. So, and that had to do with, you know, they lost to Notre Dame in the regular season and so forth and so on, right? And so when you lose non-conference games, that does not count against your conference record, obviously. The interesting thing about this, so I brought up the playoff game locations and the structure and whatnot. You would need five rounds. Currently, we have four rounds. But now you would need five rounds with this. The first two rounds would more than likely be hosted on campus at the higher seeds. That is a positive change. Later rounds are going to remain at the New Year's Six Bowls, and you'll have a rotating national title site, and I believe that different sites are bidding on those. The top four seeds are certainly going to get first-round buys, although you could probably extend that out to eight so that it matches what the FCS does. I don't know exactly how the bracket would look if you were to only do four, so that's going to be different. The past expansion proposals, you know, with the 4-4, 2-2-1-3, or the 5+11, this is different. Like, this is completely different, and anybody that wanted to get in, like Eli Drinkwitz at SEC Media Days talked about, like, well, why don't we just bump the damn thing up to 30 then? Like, I think that's better for everybody, because he coaches at a school where you are never going to get the benefit of the doubt because of the name, right? Missouri is the name, and it will not continue. Like, they're never going to win a beauty contest over any other SEC powerhouse, LSU, Alabama, etc. Everybody's always going to think that those schools are better because of the name on the jersey.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
The 4 plus 4 plus, there is a part of me that wonders if this 4-4-2-2-1-3, if these conferences are, now here's, I'm all over the place on this, because it feels bananas, but it's not, right? It's bananas because we're completely restructuring the sport just for the hell of it, because there is no additional money, really, that's coming in from this. It's, okay, you guys all want a shot to play at this thing? Okay, then that's what we'll do. We'll change it all up. But part of me feels like this is just kind of a, let's float something that's so completely outlandish and make it seem like we're actually talking about it, and then maybe we can get our 16 team that we wanted. Maybe we can get this 4 plus 4 plus 2 plus 2 plus blah, 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 blah. There are not 5 ACC teams or 5 Big 12 teams that deserve to play for a national championship. There's not 5 conference schools from any conference that really deserve to play for a national title. And I know last year Ohio State was the 4th seeded team from the Big 10. I know. But they looked the part and they were 10-2, and it was not outlandish, right? But in any given year, like, you cannot tell me that Ole Miss or Alabama or South Carolina, who would have been the 4th and 5th place teams from the SEC, you can't tell me that they deserved to play for a national championship. Ohio State in 2024 did not deserve to play for a national championship. Unless you completely move the bar. And that's what we've done. If you're letting 12 teams in, then, well, yeah, Ohio State deserved to play for it. But if you're looking at the tradition of the sport, then no, they did not deserve to play for it. They lost their biggest road game, the biggest conference game of the year, and then they lost the biggest game on their schedule, and they lost it at home, 13-10 at home, a 4th straight loss to Michigan. Like, no, sorry, you don't deserve to play for a national championship now. But we moved the bar, and that's the way that it goes. It was the perfect example of, this is what happens when the regular season does not mean as much anymore. All of these big schools, you're just giving more and more opportunities to them. And that's what happened. Ohio State then ran roughshod through the college football playoff. They dismantled everybody in their path. They destroyed Tennessee. They destroyed Oregon in the Rose Bowl. They destroyed, not destroyed, but they beat Texas, and they won that one by 2 touchdowns, but my goodness, an interception for a touchdown, is that was the difference. It's a completely different way of looking at how we are going to go forward in this sport. The conferences don't necessarily mean anything. Like, think about this. There is no conference championship game in the NFL. It's just, all right, well, what did you do in the regular season? We don't care how easy your schedule was. All right, you're in. Let's go see what you do in the playoffs. Because the only thing that matters in the NFL is winning a Super Bowl. Like, is it cool to win a division championship? Yeah, sure. You get 2 shots at every team in your division. But your divisions are only 4 teams. You can play everybody a couple of different times. In college football, your conference could be 16 or 18 teams. You're only required to play 8 or 9 conference games. It's a big difference. So you're not going to get to play everybody. SMU played 8 ACC games last year. 7 of them were against the bottom 8 in a 17-team league. I mean, how do you even... You know, SMU was the least ugly option last year. Hell, if you're the ACC, you get 5 of them in anyway. So I guess the five that would have gotten in from the ACC last year would have been Syracuse, Miami, Clemson, SMU, and I don't even know who was good, and I don't have it pulled up in front of me. I mean, that's insane. Syracuse at 10-3, I think, would have gotten in. That's crazy. I talked about the 8-game versus 9-game conference schedule. This would certainly end the debate over that, at least somewhat. You know, the SEC, it looks like they are going to stick with 8 conference games. The coaches only want 8 conference games. They don't want to push this thing to 9. ESPN offered money for it. I think it was like $80 million a year, so that's an additional $5 million per school to play another conference game to take over one of the non-cons. Now, granted, if you're the SEC, you still have to play one Power 5 opponent outside of the conference, so that would put you at 10 P5 games instead of 9. With the Big Ten, they do 9 conference games and then one additional P5 game. So 10 P5 games are required of Big Ten schools. Now, that's not exactly right. It's not required, per se, because Indiana certainly moved away from that. As Kurt Cignetti would tell you, you know, they just moved to the SEC scheduling model because they did 9 P4, P5, whatever it's called, P4 conference games, and they got rid of Virginia and brought in Northern Indiana or Illinois State or whatever it is, like some FCS school. But going back to the scheduling, moving to 9 conference games would potentially help justify more auto bids in an expanded playoff. I think that's the biggest thing. I don't know exactly how this would play out, right? Because half of your conference is going to get an additional loss. What are those losses worth? What do those losses mean? And it's probably nothing. It probably means nothing if you've got 7 playoff teams out of 16 teams. So, you know. But at the same time, like, are you giving bonuses for making the playoff when, you know, 20% of the schools in the country are going, and almost 50% of your conference is making the playoff every year? I mean, it's very interesting. The selection criteria is being adjusted a little bit. I brought up the selection criteria earlier. And I know I'm rambling, I'm going along, but there's a lot. There's just a lot in this. There are new metrics that are being tested by the CFP selection committee. They are trying to do a stronger emphasis on strength of schedule. That is games against top 30 or top 40 teams. Now, your guess is as good as mine on what the hell a top 30 or top 40 team is. Is it SP Plus? Is it FPI? Which, we can talk about that here in just a minute. Good gracious. What analytics do you consider for top 30 or top 40? You know, I'm very curious. And then there's a new strength of record stat that rewards good wins and not punishing tough losses as much. ESPN's already got one of those. There's a couple of different analytics sites that have those strength of record. We'll see what they end up using. Because in most of the time, like with the NCAA tournament in college basketball, they release the net rankings, but they don't go specifically by them. It's like, well, here's a pretty good guideline, but it's not exactly what we use. If it doesn't fit who we want in, then we're not going to use it. So, you know. But the selection criteria metrics, it reflects the Big Ten and the SEC's push to kind of validate their league's tougher schedules. I don't know how you get the bias out of it, right? I don't know. The deadline for the CFP decision, by the way, is December 1st of this year, and that was set by ESPN. So if there's nothing done by then, when in the 2026 season, we're just going to have the 12-team playoff exactly the way that we have done it this year and this coming year. So, you know, at the end of the day, we've got an option. It is what it is. There's a couple of different ways that you can look at this, right? You can be optimistic about it. I mean, that's, you know, 24-2018 playoff, like, that could revolutionize the sport. It gives fans, I guess, more meaningful December football. Seeds are going to be constantly moving. No game really is going to be do or die, or maybe not as many games will be do or die. But every game will have impact on something because tiebreakers are going to be bananas in conference standings. We already saw that last year. But it could certainly allow more programs a shot at the big prize. Now, were they ever really going to have a shot? No. I don't think any of them will be good enough to actually go further. You can pull a couple of upsets. But are you going to win 5 straight games against really good teams? Most of these, probably not. There's only a handful that can actually do that. The second way you can look at it is maybe concerned, right? Too much expansion, way too fast. You eliminate conference championships. You add more rounds, I guess, of a playoff. That, I mean, it waters down the regular season. It turns into NFL light. You know, what does that mean as far as the lifeblood of the sport, which is the fans? Like, how dedicated are the fans if it turns into just another football league? Like, if the only thing that you are playing for is something that only one team can get at the end of the year, what does that mean? Because right now, you can play for conference championships. There are programs that haven't made bowl games in forever, and they play for those. South Carolina gets excited about making a bowl game all the time, and I understand that, like, expectations change over time, etc. But, like, there's more to this sport than just who wins and who loses. Right? There's so much more to it. And then number three, the easiest way to look at it is cautiously supportive. Like, we knew expansion was inevitable. We knew that they were going to move this thing. The details certainly matter here. If the SEC and the Big Ten dominate with, you know, more guaranteed spots, I mean, 14 out of 24 teams in this thing would be SEC or Big Ten. I think that this is a good way to make sure that, like, the other conferences don't get left behind. I mean, they're already getting left behind as it is, but this way it's like, all right, well, we guaranteed that you're going to have, you know, such and such teams in and blah, 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 blah. I'm curious. I'm just curious about all of it. I don't know what to make of it, but, you know, like, I'm certainly skeptical and eagerly awaiting what they decide they want to do with this thing, because if I were to choose, I would just move it to 16 and then leave it. But if you're going to go to 24 or 28, I mean, I think it'd probably make a little more sense to just do the 9 conference champions and Notre Dame, that's 10 of them, and then do 14 at-larges. Just see where they go. It's all bananas. All of it's bananas. Like, moving the bar. Always moving the bar. Let me tell you, right quick, if you have not subscribed, please do that. Whatever your favorite podcast app is, I would certainly appreciate it. And leave a nice 5-star review. You know, on Spotify, you can comment on each individual episode. And I'm going to do a lot of these this year. I'm going to do a lot of audio-only podcasts. So, you know, toss in some comments over there, or you can always reach out to me on X at GaryWCE. Or, if you like doing it the old school way, Gary@WinningCuresEverything.com. That is one way to go about it. And if you haven't subscribed to the YouTube channel, do that thing. I've got a bunch of team previews up over the past week, ready for the season to begin. And over there, obviously, I will put the Week 0 preview. I will put that in your podcast feed as well. But yeah, make sure you are subscribed on YouTube as well. There's going to be some stuff over there that you can't get over here, and stuff that's over here that you can't get over there. And there will also be stuff at bettingcfb.com. That is the subscription site. There's going to be all kinds of things over there So go and check that out as well. $5 for a month or $50 for the year. I'm going to post my official plays over there when they happen. Sometimes I can't get to a mic. I can't get to a video to release plays and whatnot. So if a line shifts that I see or something along those lines, I post it up over there. Or if I just feel like ranting about something or tossing something out that maybe you should pay attention to, I'll toss it over there. Sometimes it's audio. Sometimes it's written words. Sometimes it's statistical things. And there's going to be a lot of stats posted over at Betting CFB. So make sure that you sign up over there. All right, let's talk for just a minute about the FPI. The ESPN Football Power Index came out. We're not going to spend long on this. They updated it again. And they moved ACC teams down and SEC teams up. Clemson, who is, you know, top five or top six or seven, whatever it is, in basically all of the preseason polls and all the different magazines and all the da-da-da-da-da. Clemson, who returns the most production of any school in the country per SP Plus, per whoever else. College Football Winning Edge, I believe, has them up there, etc. There's a lot of spots. But Clemson, way up there. Had a pretty good year last year. They weren't great, but they were good. They were moved down to 16. I think they were 11 before. They moved down to 16. Miami dropped all the way down to 17. Those are the top two schools in the ACC. Different SEC schools moved up, and South Carolina was one of them that moved above Clemson and above Illinois. Illinois is like back at 37th. But again, if you listen to the podcast, I've told you their stats last year, like the wins were fraudulent. I'm not hating on Illinois. I'm just saying that they were like 60th in yards per play margin. That does not scream, you know, top 25 team. It doesn't scream a 10-win season, which is what they ended up having. So sometimes you get lucky. But they do have a lot of experience returning. So what I would like to know is where the FPI gets their information. Like, what stats are they using? Why do they have SEC teams ranked so highly? They are the one, not analysis, what word am I looking for? They are the one statistical database, whatever the hell you want to call it, the one metric. Ha-ha, got it. They are the one metric that has three SEC teams at the top of their rankings or ratings. Texas, Georgia, Alabama. And then they pop in with Ohio State and Penn State and whatever, like they go from there. And then the ACC doesn't have a school until 16th with Clemson. I find it interesting. Like, and I'm an SEC guy. I do think the SEC is the best conference in the country. But I do think it's weird when you start looking at numbers like that. So, like, give us something to go on because some of their projected win totals are just bananas. They got Utah at 5.1 wins. They got FAU, whose win total right now I believe is at 4.5. FAU, who has a new coach, a completely new roster, all this new stuff. Nobody really knows what in the world they're going to be. They got them at, like, 7 wins. And I know that they play in a relatively easy conference in the American. Their schedule is not super daunting, but, like, the road-home splits are insane. Like, none of it makes any sense. So I would like for ESPN, who is pushing out the stats and analysis and all that kind of stuff, I would like for them to be a little more transparent with it. That's what I would like. All right, let's talk one more thing before we get out of here. I didn't intend for this thing to go over 30 minutes, but hey. It's the first week of the season, baby. We got to talk about it. Alabama, Jam Miller is their returning starting quarterback. Sorry, not quarterback, running back. I feel like I should edit these podcasts sometimes when I say goofy crap like that. Jam Miller is Alabama's returning starting running back from last year, and he is going to be out indefinitely. He is certainly going to miss the opener, probably week two, week three. Week three would be against Wisconsin. But he has a dislocated collarbone. And I will tell you, I have never heard of that before in my life. That sounds so incredibly painful. Like, breaking your collarbone is one thing. How do you dislocate it? So Alabama already dealing with the injury bug a little bit. Most everybody is. But I found it interesting. We'll see what we can expect from, you know, Florida State, from all of these other teams that we don't know anything about. We will see what they look like, not this coming Saturday, but the next week. All right, that is going to wrap things up. You guys know where to follow. You know where to subscribe. Hit me up on X at GaryWCE. And if you would, so kindly, leave a nice 5-star review or jump in the comments on YouTube. With that said, let's get out of here. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. God bless college football and hopefully all of your tickets cash this week.
Thanks for listening to Winning Cures Everything. Make sure and subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. And make sure to leave a nice 5-star review. You can follow Gary on Twitter at GaryWCE. And the show is at Winning Cures. Be sure to check out the merch in our web store and share the show.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.